stand. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Camera, call the roll, please.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Present.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here. Anybody signed up for public participation?
No.
Okay, read the motion for the minutes, please.
Minutes of the regular meeting of August 6, 2024 be approved as submitted.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes, motion's carried. Now, read the list of the bills, please.
General Administration, $10,003.83. Economic Development, $347.77. Police, $1,245.54. Fire, $7,754.62. Street, $7,193.54. Parks, $7,144.20. Public Health and Safety, $350. Infrastructure, $935. Garbage, $63.42. Cemetery, $28,267.92. Water Operations, $34,099.61. Sewer Operations, $39.58. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 1, $110,318.64. Motor Fuel Tax Fund, $104,020.02. Warner Hospital Health Savings, Health Services Operating Account, $723,320.64.
Entertain a motion for approval of bills and payroll.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried. Now, Department of Public Affairs. We have our Executive Director of the Chamber of Commerce here to talk to us. So, want to come up to the table? And
I also have our Board President of the XSNs.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
We had a lot of complaints, comments last year on Santa's house because it was not ADA compliant. We had people that wanted to come basically sit with Santa and they couldn't. Yes, he came out and would visit with them, but that's not giving everybody the whole experience. So we thought about giving Santa a new house along with Santa's Village up on Mr. Lincoln's stage for the month of December. And that's quite an endeavor to find a new house and to get everything built, decorated, electricity, the whole bit. So we are asking for a $5,000 donation from the city to help with those expenses. We're a nonprofit, so we don't have money grown out of our ears. We rely on membership dues and sponsorships and fundraisers to do that.
One of the things that's kind of adding into it is Santa has been a staple of our community, mainly as the Grand's for years. And the other half, she didn't address that much, but the building that we use for Santa is not in good shape. It hasn't been for quite a while. It's been patched together year after year. This is my third term as president. Last time was almost 9 years ago. And at that time, it was already a little bit scary. It's now gotten to a lot scarier point. So actually moving it up onto the stage would allow, as you said, handicapped access, but it would also just give a better environment. We still plan to put in all the safety precautions. We have currently cameras and everything else to monitor situations and everything else, but just making sure it's safer and a better location for kids who come visit Santa at Christmas time.
To add to that, guys, they're not planning on using the existing house.
they're building a structure for that up there.
Right.
So it's not steps or anything.
Yeah, we are going to have to buy a portable house that will be assembled and disassembled every year.
Yes.
Okay, the chamber going to be doing that, or are we going to be having just a...
We are planning on it. Right now, I know that the city goes and gets the current house and brings it up and what levels of whatever, but that should not happen. We should be able to, yes.
And to go along with that, Janice talked to me quite a while ago about the usage on the square. You know, we have the Festival of Trees that uses like 3/4 of it. That quadrant was not used last year, and I told her that, well, we could let them have that quadrant for the festival, for the Santa Claus area. That way people's got room to stand and use the ramps and plenty of room. So you're not crowded, they still...
It's a win-win for both.
Right.
It's benefiting the community.
Exactly.
You know, come to the Festival of Trees, see Santa Claus, vice versa. It's just, it's great for the community.
Well, and they tie into each other, so right. That's perfect.
Right. They do.
Have you already looked into what it's going to take to actually build and make the Santa Village? What is the total cost?
We are estimating between $5,000 and $8,000. That's an estimation. Until we actually get into it, we've been looking at some buildings and they've been in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. And then we have the cost of building the lumber, everything else. We have reached out to the high school to see if their Woodward class would actually build it if we have the materials. So I haven't heard back. School's not started yet, so I don't know yet about that part.
Has anyone done one of these somewhere where they can take them apart and have where they can be modular that they can give talking about it and done this before?
We have not, and I have not. We've just talked about doing it, and it seems logical that this is something that we could do and would not be a lot of charge.
I know you've been in a lot of construction.
I would think they can build, and Jim Brady's sitting right there, he could probably tell you as well as anybody. For a portable Santa Claus house, making 4 walls and a roof on it to where it can be unpinned and taken apart, it shouldn't be that big a deal, should it, Jim?
No, it'd be pretty simple, actually. Bolt it up, maybe where you can bolt it together and bolt it, smack it. All the way.
That's kind of what our thought was, exactly.
And he might be a good gentleman for you to work with.
Okay. So,
there you go. Sorry, Jim. Sorry to volunteer you.
I know who called my questions.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we're thinking of storing it actually in the house because, plus we have a basement in our building, so either one, we've got that part covered. We just have to get all those logistics worked out to the end.
That's why when they approached me with it, I thought it was a good idea, so.
Well, Santa Claus house has been a staple up there for many years. I remember going to it as a little boy.
It's been there a while.
Really long time ago.
Probably different Santa Claus, I'm sure.
I don't think so.
Some of us are not supposed to say.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming. We get down to the voting part, and we'll take that up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. If anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out to me in the chamber. I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You ready for me now?
Yep.
And our next items on is to do with our park, new park, our Kiwanis Park with equipment. And I'm going to turn it over to Taylor now, and he can introduce and have him come forward.
Very excited for this project. This is a big one for the community as well. And we have a couple representatives from Cunningham Recreation and the Milan Group, so we're very excited to hear what they have to say. And we're going to have Renee go first, if she's ready. And we'll work on getting your laptop on all that stuff. So, and I don't know, Commissioner Ballinger, while Renee's getting ready, do you want to talk about where we were as far as tearing it down, why we did all that?
Okay, yeah. That thing was put up, the old Kiwanis Park was put up with community support. They all put hands on, and believe me, it was not an easy decision to tear it down. I caught grief, but everybody finally realized that 25 years of a wooden structure is a long life. And it got to the point, myself and 80-year-old Harold Jones went 2 years ago and rebuilt it the best we could to get a couple more years out of it. And That's what we did. It's junk, it had to be tore down, and we made a decision to take it down, and we're looking at filling that space back in. And I know both of you companies have talked to me about maybe relocating. We had a meeting with Steve Lobb, Public Works, John Wise, which came with me to both spots. Taylor was involved, and Chief Flowers, and it's come to the conclusion, we're gonna keep it right where it's at. But we are gonna try to do some leveling of it to make it more of a flatter area, and Steve might be able to elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, I can tell you that I have been over and taken some preliminary grade shots of elevations. And it is a rolling slope, but it's, at its worst point, there's about 5 foot of difference. And if we actually did some sort of split of the ground, you're only looking at a 2.5 foot leveling. And the reality is, from everything I've heard, this thing is not gonna be constructed before spring.
Right.
So that allows us ample time over the fall and winter to get fill, cut, do the things, and have it all settled before construction. But it is something that we have looked at, and it's doable.
Okay.
But anything's doable if you guys have the money and allow us the time.
Yes, exactly. Now, I'm gonna throw another guy on the spot that don't know he's getting thrown on is Chief Flowers. Because he has some issues of moving into it. I'll let him explain so this can get back to the public why.
You know, one of the challenges that we have with all of the parks is quite frankly the access and security to them. And Kiwanis Park, from the moment that the ultimate play space was built, it's one way in, one way out. You know, when you deal with vandalism in all the parks to a degree, but that one becomes more susceptible because of the access that law enforcement and quite frankly the neighborhood has to view what's going on there on a regular basis. So we have we've gotten together and talking about different locations and whatnot. We prefer the site that it currently sat on or previously sat on. And then in addition to that, as part of this project, looking at some additional lighting and maybe some additional access to it, to where, you know, this one does not sit so much in a residential neighborhood compared to Woodard Park, Downey Park, where the nearby residents are also able to look out the window and see what's going on. So we've talked about different security measures of lighting access to make it easier to get into and out of for the public, but also for law enforcement on routine patrols. Maybe limiting the access to it in after hours, and also camera systems. Those are all things that we've thought about in addition to, obviously, the playground project of what we can do. You know, when we talk about spending this type of money for a recreational area, we also want to make sure that we're keeping in mind the best security we can for the location. So moving it farther back, farther away from access, creates a bit of a problem. Creates a little more of a problem in an already challenging area. That's pretty well.
That's our reasoning, because I know both of you didn't ask if it was possible. Well, we brought it back to the players, and this is what we came up with. Plus, we have an old basketball court back there. We're thinking of revitalizing, and no sense tearing it up if we're going to try to bring it back to life. So that's just why we did it, okay?
But just to verify it, though, when you're saying, so if I understand, it's on changing areas, you're not moving it out of there, you're still keeping the park in that area,
yes.
You're not moving to a different location.
Right, exactly, yes.
Just a little more adjustment.
Yep, we talked about that.
Thank you all for giving me the time to come in and talk about the project. I am uniquely aware or familiar with the site. I first started trying to design for it with Tim Fowl a couple years ago. So you have a unique situation out there. You have some really unique elevation changes, which you're familiar with, I'm sure. I have a couple of slides of just what you have out there right now. One of the things that I struggled with in the design is incorporating that hill that is on site. We did talk a little bit about potentially moving it. So, you know, the struggle between what you have out there now and what you would get is that commercial equipment is very regulated. You know, this is what structure you're able to kind of make things work on site the way that they worked. And now everything is regulated to be within safety codes. So we had to find ways to find that connection on that sidewalk on the hill. This is actually one of the reasons for that. I mean, I got a train. Like,
it won't take long.
So just some unique elevation slope challenges. So I just want to tell you a little bit before I get into the presentation how we kind of plan to address that. Everything that I go over tonight, I have hard copies up to leave with you. I also have some catalogs if you want to boost the other things that we do, and I have some examples of other projects that we've done. So, because it's a unique elevation, you've got a big elevation change from the front to the back. So we thought, you know, if you're not using open space anyway, we built some flower beds into the front, we could use that as an opportunity to raise that elevation and make it slightly less from the front to the back. You're looking at unitary surfacing, so it's really important that you keep that ADA slope throughout. We also found ways to connect to the existing sidewalk here onto the plate structure. And this is sort of the overview. I have two design options tonight. We came in with an original design based on conversations. We had a few conversations over on site, over on another site, and kind of determined that you didn't want to open slides. There were some other types of things that you wanted. So what I have here is like the first, the original presentation, and then I have one with closed slides and a couple of alternative freestanding pieces. This is the overall structure itself. This is the connection that we would propose to the existing sidewalk. I've talked about possibly, you know, the need to get an engineer involved to make sure that we work out slopes and grade. We're proposing a concrete curb to separate the unitary foot and place surfacing from the areas that start to go up that hill, and then we would have a clean bridge connection where the sidewalk meets. We're looking at your ADA access point from the parking lot to transition down that hill, and then we've created this entrance that's right off the splash pad, and we've actually sloped the sidewalk into the play area as well so that you have that easy access to the ramp. Now, forgive me for the large tall wall here. We don't have the ability to render exactly the way that it would look, but what we're positioning, what we're proposing, is that you would have some type of a seating wall, a seating feature, because there is so much of a grade change from the front to the back. We want you to be able to keep your elevation. We also want you to be able to separate materials. Because of budget, we did a loose fill material in the swing area. So we want like a clean separation so you don't have a lot of maintenance issues with that. I talk fast, especially when I present in front of people. So if you want me to slow down, if you have questions, please stop me, okay? So this is just a different view of that same structure. These roofs aren't the way you have to go, but we did a project over in Monticello at Nix Park, and actually we just did one, the one you guys saw in Peoria, at Glen Oak, and when you're replacing one of those leather playgrounds, a lot of times the community is really invested in them, and so they want a similar look or a similar feel, so this is sometimes where we start with the community to decide what they want. It's kind of a softer, you know, it's very reminiscent of what they had out there to begin with. That's where the roof structuring and some of the structuring of the, or some of the design of the actual structure comes from. These open slides here in the front of the one will be the ones that you see that are closed off later on in the proposal. And so this area is really kind of what we've designated for 2 to 5. So out there right now, you have a very segregated 2 to 5, 5 to 12 area. Not everyone does it that way, but there's a philosophy, or some people do like to keep that separation between age groups. Because that's the way that you have it out there now, because you've got plenty of space, it's not an issue. That's the way we laid it out. So these areas, or this particular area, has a group of equipment that is really unique to that age 2 to 5. And the larger structure, while it does have several components on it that are friendly for 2 to 5, it's more geared towards the 5 to 12 age group. It's just a close-up of the 2 to 5 unit. And an overview of the entire space. slide. So that is the I should definitely point that out. In place of this Vista Tree spinner, which is an inclusive piece, there's actually an area of the net that remains open, and it is installed at ADA height, so you can transition out of the wheelchair onto this very soft but sturdy surface, and it allows you to be part of the play with children who may be using it in a typical capacity. So that is an inclusive event, but there have been some interest expressed in this inclusive world. So two options on that particular space. The inclusive world, you know, transition from the unitary surfacing directly onto the world. If anybody has any questions too, like I'm throwing out in kind of industry terms like unitary surfacing, if you want to have questions or talk about unitary surfacing.
When we think ADA, a lot of times people immediately just go to wheelchair. Are there other aspects of this that meet ADA that aren't specifically wheelchair?
That's a really valid point. And look, we could go as in depth into it as what you'd like, but just looking at the 2-5 piece as an example, we now know that inclusive play does mean more than access. It's about having pieces on the playground that are sensory driven. It's about having places for children to escape the sensory if they need a break. So it's about having shade on the playground. But audio, visual, tactile, having different types of surfaces is very important in an inclusive environment. And a lot of the things here, like we try to include pieces, you know, like that large Vistanet spinner. I think the easiest example that I can come up with is, I think everybody's probably seen that swing that allows you to swing in the mobility device, where you roll up onto and then you swing in it. That gives you the function of swinging, which is amazing. But it takes away all the inclusion. You have to put that piece in a fenced area because it's basically a battering ram if it's used wrong. It tells the child, this is the only, you know, your space is here, everyone else's fun time is over there. So it doesn't create inclusion. So we have tried to include pieces like the world where it can be multiple users, some of them in mobility devices, and like that world where you can, or like the tree spinner, where you can transition out of your mobility device and be surrounded with other users. So it's that cooperative play within the environment that we really shoot for. So again, this is this exact same design, except instead of the world, we have the tree net, and we have enclosed the slides. I believe slides over a particular height, and having them open was going to be an issue on the site. So it is possible to make it fully enclosed. And again, these designs are essentially the same, except for the tunnel slides and the inclusive world.
Can I interrupt just a second? Those enclosed slides, I think what Johnny and I were seeing when we were out to both sites were more for the open ones to keep the stuff from happening up in those lines.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that kind of what we're thinking, Johnny? Because that's where they tend to want to get up in there and hide and do the stuff that shouldn't be done.
So you would prefer the open?
That's, and I mean, it'll be all of us that decided, but
yeah.
That's what our thoughts was.
Okay. You have options real quick.
Okay.
The difference in the price is nominal. Actually, the tunnels are a bit more expensive, more material. So you have options for both, certainly.
Now, the heights and the enclosed one, the heights can be a little taller because of the enclosed one, or are the height the same?
The heights on this particular structure, it's a modular structure, so we're only going to take it up to 8 foot. We have towers where you can go up to 16 feet, but then not only are the slides enclosed, all of the climbers are enclosed.
And that's all we want to stay away from.
Okay.
We even saw slides that had a section enclosed and then like a clear section.
Yes.
So something like that would be fine too.
We also have a slide that's a tunnel at the top and then open to the bottom. So it's kind of like a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, this structure, you know, for as much as you can see it, it's kind of a little reminiscent of what you have. It's a little castle themed, it's a little imaginative play, it's a little going under here to find this, and that's difficult to find in commercial equipment. in those. It's like clear sight lines, take out all the trees, flatten the earth, and let everybody see everything. So it's difficult to design for this kind of space, but I think we've given some opportunities for that imaginative play. As far as what's included on the structure, I mean, again, I think it is in depth as what you like, but there are multiple different types of sliding and climbing. We have different varieties of difficulty within the climbers so that you can kind of grow within the structure as you as your capabilities grow. We have opportunities for parallel play, so if you are a typical user versus a child with special needs, there are opportunities for you to play together and learn about each other. This is a video.
Follows along. It
gives them the ability to start the play and to be in charge of the play. So that can be a really positive thing on the playground. But switch technology, audio, visual, tactile. Yeah, we also have just normal games that you can play on the playground. You know, tic-tac-toe, we have like a, we could take all the panels that we have included on the structure and then you guys can choose which one you wanted to do. We have sort of finger tracing panels, we have complicated audio panels. But basically, the more you can do with it, the more expensive they are. So we have some pretty basic panels that you can balance out for budget. Any other?
I got one more. Would you explain the different surfaces?
Yes. So in the front, you see the green. That is a unitary safety surfacing. So it's very expensive material. It is typically $25 to $32 a square foot. That's something those are the prices we're seeing these days. It's completely ADA accessible. No maintenance. Beautiful. Expensive. And also, it's hard to maintain in areas with a lot of motion, right? So if it were a typical merry-go-round where you were running around it, that would be an area where we would pour a more dense version of that fourth place. In swing areas, when we do fourth place in swing areas, we do a more dense version of that material under the swings because it's drag and feet. You guys had some budget concerns, and it's a huge space. It makes a lot of sense sometimes to do those motion as long as you have the proper separation so you're not creating a maintenance nightmare. And while I don't suggest the large cinder block wall that we showed there, what I do suggest is that we have seating areas on both sides to kind of adjust the elevation. And then we have an area in the middle that goes at an ADA ramp incline so that you can enter into the swing area. It is a loose fill material, but the material that we quote is ADA compliant. So it's not ideal. Access, it is compliant in every way.
So pretty much the engineered wood that you're showing there is mainly in the swing area.
Correct. Yep. Everything else is the workplace.
In the area, there, right? Just saying, how is that repaired? I mean, is it easy to repair that, or is it exhausting to repair
the port?
Repair the port in place?
Right.
So, it's no maintenance. If there's vandalism, it's repaired by cutting that piece out and patching it. If it's a small, if it's been vandalized or damaged in a small area, it's certainly something the park district staff can do themselves. We've had that happen. If it's a larger area, then we would send a crew. Or, typically it depends on how high traffic the park is. If you end up having a bus full of people show up on the weekends, every weekend because this isn't the best thing in the area, a lot of traffic and a lot of wear and tear, then we would probably suggest 3 to 5 years in doing another top coat, just so that you don't have to totally replace it in 10 or 15 years. So we want to keep an eye on that. We also sell in packages. Sometimes you want to put this together and you don't want to think about it in 5 to 10 years, so you can buy at year 7, you get the top coat. And then we will assess it. Is it 5, 7, 10? What do you need it?
I think that's all I know.
What's the life expectancy? How is that? We got 21 years out of the last one.
Life expectancy of the equipment, the surfacing, probably both, right? So I have playgrounds out there that are 30 years old, and they're fine. The materials are steel, rotationally molded plastic. Outside of vandalism, it's not going to just fall apart. Even the hardware, it's proprietary hardware, you can't jack with it on the site. I will say that I have structures out there that are sold that are no longer compliant. That's typically more the issue. A structure will be out there so long that the compliancy will change. It'll be time to replace it. Safety surfacing, that's going to depend on wear and tear, your community, how many people visit it. The best thing you can do about safety surfacing is to keep an eye on it. Don't let it get too bad. Make small repairs when you can, because if you don't, then kids get after it. That would be his points. Any questions?
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad it worked out.
Okay, perfect.
Well, thank you, Renee. Appreciate you coming in. Next, we are going to have our next presenter. They're with the Milana Group, and we're really excited to hear their proposal as well. So, whenever you guys are ready to come on up, go for it.
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name's Dale Schaffnacker. This is my son, Andrew. We both grew up in Mount Pulaski. We both graduated from Mount Pulaski High School, so we're pretty darn close to Clinton. Andy lives in Chatham. I live down by Mawequin. That was an outstanding presentation, Renee. That was great. We're a pop and son outfit. The entire company is here. This is us. But I've been in the park and playground business for over 18 years. And Renee's been at it almost that long. I know it's really close. Close. So we've been at it a long time. It's obviously a family-run business. It's just us. So we don't have the power of big companies. Everything you see, we pay for. So appreciate the opportunity of being able to come and present our options to you. I'm going to have to apologize right now. I thought we were still going to go onto that side. So the presentation we've got is not in the old location. It's just to the west of that. What I will tell you, though, is the concepts are still there. The equipment is the same. We would have to reconfigure. So I'm just going to have to ask you to use your imagination a little bit, because what we've got is a nice squared off rectangle, and that's not going to be the case,
right?
You know, in the, I'd say, the old site. So getting on with that, I'm going to, why don't you go ahead and pass out? Oh, I forgot. I gotta put these on, or who knows what we're gonna see. Okay. So we put everything important in place. Of course, that takes up more of an area. What we show here is a rectangle that we would just have to move off this direction, and it would have to be rearranged. We show two different colors. This area is 2 to 5 year old. This area is 5 to 12 year old. And making sure everything's all accessible. We have got in the yellow folder, you've got your own picture right there, because it's impossible to see this that far away. We have a play structure for the little kids. This is their own swing set. It's got two, they go by a couple different names, mommy and me swings, intergenerational swings. But it's the typical, the belt seat with the toddler bucket seat, where the adult and the child face each other and rock. So there's two of those there. Then there's two other bucket seats on the side, or toddler seats. We do have a wheelchair swing. Pros and cons to those, but we did put that basically right in the middle of everything. So from an inclusive standpoint, the kids are not going to feel isolated. They are right in the middle of the activity there. We've got a couple small spinners right there. We've got some musical instruments. It's called a rhythm group of three. So there's like drums, metallophone, things like that. So there's that sensory options there. Then we've got a large stretch. And we've got pictures of this. I just kind of wanted to show you the layout first. This is the 5 to 12 year old structure. It's all ramped. So we have ramp going up to two different decks, and then there's panels all the way around there for the sensory aspect for the kids that are either in wheelchairs or not. It's all accessible there. Then that leads up to a 4-foot deck with slides, and then there's more steps that lead up to another set of slides that are 8-foot high. Now, they are tube slides, but Dan, you mentioned before, these, every other section is clear plastic. So it's solid color, clear, solid color, clear. So there's really not going to be too much shenanigans that are going on in there that are going to be hidden. So we took that into account. Everything else is wide open. We've got a, what we call a lunar leap back here, which is a net structure, which is going to give kids more things to do. It's about 12 foot high, so there's a lot of excitement there. You can see right through it. There's literally no place to hide. And then we've got a set of swings here, four bays for eight seats, a belt seats. But again, everything was, in this particular case, in Portland Place. So what does that look like? It would look like this. Here is our larger structure. There's the climbing net. There's the swings. Here's the rhythm group of three, a couple spinners, the swings, and the 2 to 5. It's play structure here. It's got some slides and panels there. And of course, you can see some of the panels here and have two different colors of port in place. To separate visually, so mom or dad or say, hey, you need to stay in the green area, you need to stay in the brown area, now pick your colors, but just try to get something that complemented the structure. In your packet, there's the price, the cost, which was basically, I think it was $425, give or take a little bit. There's a picture of a wheelchair swing. Because that is a different manufacturer, we could not incorporate that piece into this picture. But it would be going right here, because manufacturers don't communicate back and forth. You kind of have to pick one or the other. So that's a wheelchair swing, and then what I had proposed is a small shade structure to go over that concrete piece, which was more or less the pad right in front of the old playground. And then the last thing in this is a little bit better view of this piece right here, which is a ramp that leads right up to, again, two decks that are a foot off the ground, and then there's step with panels around them, then there's steps up to a 4 foot slide, and then more steps up to an 8 foot slide. I've got our installation costs. I also proposed picnic tables, again, thinking it was going to be on the other side, because the picnic tables you've got in that shelter are worn. Questions?
No, our main concern when we went to both of you at different times was keeping it open. And that's for our PD. You know, we got a curve activities we don't want down there.
Right.
You both have done that, so
right.
That's what I like about that. So.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions. You guys? No.
In your plan, you're going to take it to the pour in place on all of it?
Yes, but if
you're going down in another section, you're going to have to change.
I think we would. Based upon the elevation, I think we'd have to do something very similar layout to what Renee just talked about, where the swings are elevated kind of like where they were before initially, and then everything else is going to be down below.
If we get the grade down where it needs to be?
Yeah, I just...
Okay.
Yeah, it's just there's too big of an area there. I think it would be cost prohibitive to basically pour in place that entire area.
Okay.
And I don't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But you do have a great elevation change there. If you did build up with the bottom area and you shaved off some of that, there'd be the potential. The reason we didn't do pour in place and everything, it just really killed the budget. You know, so I think if you did a fair amount of site work, it might be possible.
Do you know what you square foot you was doing pour in place? Okay.
I agree with everything she just said.
Yeah, because yours is pretty easy to see the
right.
62 foot by 136 foot.
If you multiply that out, that's $22 a square foot, give or take some change. For the pour in place, that's material, labor, and everything.
I was just trying to compare pour in place to
right.
Pour in place.
Right.
See if we're
and We did the line items, so you can see how much our quarter place was, but I think the main number, it was $22 a square foot. So.
Dan, it's just over 4,800 square foot.
Okay, so what's, anybody got a calculator? And what's 136 times 62? See it, you know, if we're close on it.
8,432.
And that's how much? What you said, how many square feet?
4,815 square foot.
Okay, so your figure double square footage because that's 4,000 versus 8,000.
Too many numbers for me. I just know that ours was with $22 a square foot. Okay. So we would have to refigure based upon a new layout.
What are you thinking, Steve, as far as having the swing area with, you know, if we reconfigure and do the swing area with the engineered wood?
Oh, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay,
all
right.
No problem.
Because you're the one who's going to have to maintain it.
Yeah, no, I'd have no problem with it.
Okay.
If it's something we know, we can do that.
All right.
One thing, and it doesn't show on here, regardless of how you go, one thing that helps in both wood fiber and quarter place are swing mats. They go underneath, in high traffic areas, and the highest traffic area is underneath swing seats. Because kids drag their feet and they just do damage, and it's not vandalism whatsoever.
No.
It's just human nature. So whether it's wood fiber or quarter place, we really promote swing mats. It's going to save you. In the wood fiber, it's going to be trenching, and in the quarter place, it's just going to scrape the surfacing off. It just happens over time. And those are inexpensive compared to everything else.
Right. Okay. That's the only question I have. You guys good? Thank you, guys. We
appreciate
you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, both of you. I know we kind of put you into a different spin. We kind of visited the same level for all years. And you think a different outlook and visioning. You guys were both on a tunnel vision. You both looked at this is what we're going to do. And then we threw a bridge to you. I personally want to thank you for coming back.
Sure.
And taking the time.
Right.
Because we want to get the best product that
right.
we can possibly get because we know it's going to have to last.
Right.
Have to be there for a long time. And then after brainstorming with everybody else, trying to figure out what was the best. But the place that this is in, he's not kidding. It has to be done where we have the lighting, the cameras, the
oh, yeah.
thing. Because we get it in places that's wide open. We have
it happens.
Even
everywhere.
At the
every town.
Wide open, we
every
have
player.
It happen. We are trying to eliminate that to the best of our ability. But I do appreciate you guys taking your time because I know we put a lot of into work on both sides and gave us a lot to think about now and we can get to it.
All right.
Thank you
guys.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
It's all yours again.
Would you pass those pictures? You
know, yes.
Would you pass them around?
Just leave them here. Yeah, how's that?
Well, that might be to pass them around. I like to look at them.
Is this?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hey, Department of Streets and Public Improvements.
Well, before you move on, I just in fairness to them, there's not going to be any action.
No.
Right?
Oh, no.
Not your
no.
presentations in there.
No. No, we're
so
going to get.
They're good to go because
yes.
they've got a long way to get back.
Yep. We're going to talk it over now. And thank you, guys.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Department of Streets and Public Improvements.
Hi, I'm Mr. Knight. I'm thinking to really move along to the new subdivision. They got the main majority of the street board, which means that one day we'll be part of that through there. That makes it move along pretty well. This also is brush pickup week. You guys have been working on my brush. And once again, I just want to thank the guys that are really busy. You know, a lot of different things and trying to get everything done. So the school's just starting up there. Thank the crosswalks and everything. So. I just want to thank him. That's all I got.
John, you're the department.
What, an hour dissertation?
You're yeah.
going to get done quickly. I'm just asking. What are you looking to turn for?
I'm looking
for the keys, dude. I do not have a whole lot. Last time when we had the guys in here that were working on the plant, had to be kind of shut down for about a day and a half to try to get all the electronics and everything working, but I think everything's going better. And we're moving ahead with our plans. I think the group out of Peoria with My Rock and them are trying to move that as quickly as they can to make sure they get all the engineering done. And I commend all the guys that they're all working a little extra to make sure they keep everything going and running. And just like Kenny and his crew, there's been a lot of stuff got done just in the last month that really has been good. Steve, David, Logan, appreciate all that work. You're out there making sure it's overseen, making sure it gets done. And I'm looking excited. That new addition, I'm looking forward to those housing lots, seeing people start working, because they are moving really quickly on that. And the sidewalk crews, they might be a little slower, but the stuff that they've done looks really nice. And I saw that stuff cut over here off Main Street too.
So the pace is picking up. You're going to see a lot more happen in the next couple of weeks.
I was bringing it up, I forgot to say something.
Yeah, but it is coming along, and I really think that's going to take it. You never please everybody, but it's going to take and help in a lot of ways in those corners and those areas. So I appreciate you guys, but I know you're on and you're making sure they're doing the work. Kenny, I'm glad to see that. Appreciate that.
I'm glad if I got it straight down and get the work done.
So I appreciate it. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Department of Public Health is there?
Johnny's got me lost. Right off the bat, most of you guys up here know it, but our full-time senior engineer is having some medical issues, and he'll be heading to Barnes Hospital in St. Louis come Thursday for some issues, so if everybody just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I don't have anything else.
Okay, I don't have anything under finance. Unfinished business.
Approve the donation of $5,000 to the Chamber of Commerce for Santa's Village.
I make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Approve the purchase of the sewer department truck from Baum Chevrolet in the amount of $45,408. And the water department truck from Douglas Dodge in the amount of $46,369 contingent based on availability.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Adopt resolution 2024-11, a resolution accepting offers to purchase lots 11 and 12 in the amount of $25,000 and $30,000 with Stephen and Marissa Page.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Approve the well treatment and pull pump for well 11 from the water department from Lane in the amount of $42,745.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Discussion. This is what you talked about last meeting.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Whether it's a normal, just taking care of it, cleaning
it. Okay, please call it.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Approve ordinance 1605, an ordinance authorizing the sale of real estate, 611 North Quincy, to Roger Cerulic in the amount of $5,675.
I make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried.
Approve City Hall elevator modernization with Kone Inc. in the amount of $195,382.
Is there a motion to approve that?
I'd make it.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
What is the replacement? It's just maintenance work.
So what this would be basically right now, the way that I understand it is, we have our elevator right now, the way it sits, has a ID number with the state of Illinois. And then once we modernize it, it's going to be basically taking everything apart except the shell of it.
So we would be able to replace the panels, everything. It's going to be a whole new elevator.
They're going to reuse the car, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
The only thing I have to say is please. Okay, call roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes, motion's carried.
New business.
Under
new business, Tom, I would like to move the very last one up so we can go ahead and vote on it.
Okay.
Approve subdivision plat Route 10 and Franklin Lane subdivision.
I'll make that motion.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
Cameron, you want to explain what this is, or Taylor?
Sure. Go ahead. This is a subdivision, a minor subdivision, as we call it. The address is on there, but it's the Anderson Ford property. And what they're doing is just basically they have a shed that's on the property, and they're kind of quartering that off. So it's just dividing the property, and that's the process that they have to go through for approval.
Ballinger?
Yes.
No, sorry, Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Well, on file?
On file, exemptions for vendors at the Apple and Pork Festival, engineering services agreement for Liberty Lane CEC job 2811 with Cummins Engineering in the amount of $12,649.80. Engineering services agreement for Liberty Lane CEC job 2811.1, Cummins Engineering in the amount of $14,998.80. Warning light installation for the 2020 Ford Explorer for the sewer department with Orion equipment, $2,500. And that is it.
That's it. I do have a question on the proposal from Cummins. Since that's on Liberty Lane, and we're using Farnsworth for that subdivision, why aren't we using them for the servicing of the Steve Road?
Tom, we always actually just use multiple engineers on different projects.
Yeah.
And this isn't associated with the subdivision.
Okay.
This is actually the resurfacing of Liberty Lane. So there are two separate projects altogether, and we just wanted to make sure that we could get this done properly, and frankly, we just used them both. We used Cummins on Madison Street. We're using Farnsworth on the downtown project right now. We kind of use both depending on their strengths.
Right.
And then this just fell into Cummins' strength and timing. So that's the only reason.
I know they do our summer maintenance.
Yes, Cummins does our summer maintenance. And we're almost treating this as a summer maintenance project because we're just doing a mill and fill. It's not a major issue whatsoever this time around.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. That's the end of the regular business for the council. We have a motion for closed session.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
She needs to read it.
Going to closed session for the purpose of employment employee 2C1.
Okay. So we got a motion.
No,
second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Call.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Closed session.